Been there, done that. Boy, I had it happen to me this week. I tell you, it was crazy. We went out, we were up in Ohio visiting with our grandkids, and so we were taking our son and daughter-in-law out to eat while the grandkids were involved in a church function. And I get a notice from Discover Card that my Discover Card has been hacked, and somebody's making charges in Jacksonville, Florida. And so we had to kind of get that under control. Well, it's the card that we also use for the property, so our son Jeff has one of them, and so I went to call him to tell him not to use that card because we actually, it had been absconded. And what had happened the day before is that my phone crashed, and it just went completely dead. And so I had to go to Apple up there in Columbus and get a new phone. So I got me a new phone right now, and so I just want to make sure it's turned off. And anyway, when they were transferring this new phone, my old phone over the new phone, they didn't give me my old phone number. And so that phone number I've had for decades. I mean decades. Everybody that knows me, that's how Teresa got in touch with me, was she knew my cell number. And so anyway, that's how we were corresponding. But anyway, I didn't even know they'd not given me my number. So when the Discover card crashed, I called our son Jeff to tell him. Well, he answers the phone with this strange voice, and he says, "Why are you calling me with a Minnesota phone number?" And I said, "Excuse me?" And so come to find out, I didn't have my phone number anymore. And so then I had to go into the Apple store on Thursday morning to try to get my phone number back. And praise the Lord, I got it. So those of you that have my cell number, it's 501-627-5179. Now you got it. So that's it. It's still the same. I was able to get it back. But, you know, when all of that's happening, and when you go through something like that, it just kind of feels like you're being overwhelmed, doesn't it? I think we've all, at some time or another in our lives, experienced that attack, that we feel like we know Satan is coming after us in some way or another. In the book of Revelation chapter 12, he gives us a graphic picture of that, and it's a picture of the woman, meaning Israel, bringing Jesus into the world. And as she was bringing Jesus into the world, Satan went on an all-out attack. A war broke out in heaven. And God, of course, through Michael the archangel, defeats Satan. And we saw that there are six facts, as we look at this together, that define Satan's attack on you. And we've looked at several of these last week, and let me just recap for you. Number one, we saw that Satan hates you. Satan hates you. Revelation chapter 12. And verse 12 says it this way. It says, "Rejoice, O heavens, and woe, and you who dwell in them. But woe to you, O earth and sea, for the devil has come down to you in great wrath, because he knows that his time is short." In other words, Satan is indiscriminately looking for anyone who is vulnerable to his attack, because he hates you. He hates you because God loves you. And God will love you and meet you wherever you are, and Satan will do everything he can to hurt God because he hates you. You have the ability to be redeemed, and he does not. The second thing that we saw is that Satan will attack you. Satan will attack you. And we saw that Satan will attack you in two ways. The first way that he tries to attack you is he will tantalize you. He would rather seduce you into sin than to terrorize you in some way. He wants to do whatever is necessary to use your sin as ammunition against God. But if that doesn't work and he can't seduce you into sin, then the second way that he attacks you is he will terrorize you. He will do everything he can to create fear in you. He will do everything he can to keep you from experiencing God's blessing. That's what I appreciate, Wade, about your last song there, because it is powerful, and it is powerful to realize that God's in control. And we experience that control when we come to God in prayer. And that brings us to the third thing that we looked at together, and that is that Satan cannot destroy you. Satan cannot destroy you. In Revelation chapter 12, verse 14, we saw God's word says, "But the woman was given the two wings of the great eagle so that she might fly from the serpent into the wilderness to the place where she is to be nourished for a time and times and half a time." And as we studied God's word last week, what we saw was this. We saw that as the woman Israel, she is being nourished. And that word nourishment means grow up. It's not just to grow up physically, but it's to grow up spiritually. And how did Israel grow up spiritually during this time known as the tribulation? They end up coming into a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. They come to know Jesus personally. And we know that because the picture that is given to us here of them avoiding the attack of Satan is that they fly on wings like an eagle. And remember, we've already seen what that picture represents in the Bible. An eagle represents a believer. Well, what are the wings on which a believer flies? It is that which he professes and that which he believes. And so because of their belief and their trust in Jesus, they are being delivered and taken to the place that God has prepared for them, and we know that that's heaven during that whole period of time known as the tribulation. And so we see that God is going to do whatever is necessary to give you and I an opportunity of experiencing God's presence. In fact, notice it says that this Israel flies on the wings of the eagle to avoid the devil. God's going to give you wings. He's going to give you wings to avoid the devil so that you can get away from him. In fact, one of my favorite verses speaks of this very thing for those who trust in God. In Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 31, remember, it says this. It says, but they who wait for the Lord. And that word wait in the original language means trust. If you trust God, if you trust him with all your heart, if you trust him with every fiber of your being, he will be there to protect you from any attack that Satan would bring against you. No matter where it comes from, no matter who it comes from, no matter how it comes to you, you will experience him. And what will he do? Your strength will be renewed because you will mount up with wings like eagles. As a believer and your trust in God, you will experience his presence and his power. And as you do that, you can run and not be weary. You can walk and not faint because God is there for you. I want you to see, as we continue to go through verse 17 here, not only does Satan hate you, not only does Satan will Satan attack you, not only can Satan destroy you, but Satan tries to overwhelm you. Look in Revelation chapter 12 and verse 15. He will use every disposal, everything that is at his disposal to attack you. It says, and remember, John has given us a graphic symbolic picture. We know that because he uses the term serpent to refer to Satan. He's already referred to Israel as the woman. And it says, the serpent poured water like a river out of his mouth after the woman to sweep her away with a flood. You know, I kind of felt flooded when my phone crashed and when my Discover card crashed and everything else happened this week. Maybe you have felt flooded. Maybe it was because of a diagnosis from the doctor and the doctor's telling you, well, this is going to be a problem that you're going to have. Or maybe it's been because of something else. You see, Satan is going to try to flood you. What an apt description of Satan's attack. In fact, it's used many times in Scripture when it talks about an army coming up. When Pharaoh went up against the armies of Babylon in Jeremiah chapter 46 and verse 8, it talked about Egypt rising like the Nile, like waters, rivers whose waters surge. And then when Nebuchadnezzar attacked Tyre and Sidon in Jeremiah chapter 47 and verse 2, it said, behold, waters are rising out of the north and shall become an overwhelming torrent. It's a graphic picture, and it's often used in the Bible when it talks about flood in a symbolic way. It's talking often about an army that's coming. And sometimes you maybe feel like you have an army that's against you in some way. In this case, it's talking about Satan's attack on Israel, amassing an army. In Revelation 12, verse 15, it says that they will come like water, like a river out of his mouth after the woman to sweep her away like a flood. And it represents, just as it does in other parts of the Scripture, an army that Satan amasses in those last days. And he does everything he can to come and attack against the people of Israel and to amass them to pursue Israel. You see, Satan's attacks hurt. They hurt. They wound. But they wound the most when Satan uses other people to attack you. When you are attacked by someone, when you, like in this case, Israel being attacked by someone, by an army. You see, Satan is always at work to try to get others to join him in his attack. And he has to use, in order for that attack to take place, most often he has to use his most common tactic, and that is the tactic of lying. Jesus said in John chapter 8 in verse 44 that Satan is a liar and the father of it. You see, Satan's strategy is to lie about everything. He wants to pervert everything. He wants to even pervert the good things that God has brought into this world. And he'll do everything that he can to do that. God provides us fruit for food and for juice. What is Satan's perversion of that? It's alcoholism. You take that juice and you ferment it and you turn it into alcohol, and then all of a sudden it takes over control of a person's life. And you know, people say in the new movement today is, well, I'm free to drink if I want to as a Christian as long as I do it in moderation. Well, you know, sometimes you may be able to do it in moderation, sometimes you may not be able to do it in moderation, and you may be telling yourself you can handle that, but then before long it's handling you. And that's Satan's perversion. You know, you take the sexual relationship. Satan's perversion is immorality. And the destroying of people's lives because of it. And the wounding of people because of it. You get a father who has an affair, or a mother who has an affair, it destroys the children. And Satan wants that to happen. That's his perversion. He's going to do everything he can to destroy lives any way he can, through a relationship that God meant to be something precious and wonderful. You take food, Satan's perversion is gluttony. Or you take Satan's big lie. Let me tell you, Satan's big lie is the same lie that he used against Eve. Come on, baby, eat this fruit. You can be like God. Folks, do you know that that's one of the primary lies of our culture today? You can be anything you want to be. No, you can't. Listen, hey, I want to be the next big star in the NBA. What are you laughing at? I'd be anything I want to be. You watch me. I'll be dunking as good as Michael Jordan. Or I'll be dunking as good. I don't even know who the current players are. I'm going to be the best player out there you can imagine. I can be anything I want to be, right? No. I don't have the DNA to be the next great NBA basketball star. It ain't ever going to happen. And I just have to live with the reality of the fact that it isn't ever going to happen. And yet the basic tenet of our age is you can be whatever you want to be. Go be like God. It's exactly the lie that Satan told to Eve in the garden. And many people buy into that movement. And because they do, then Satan uses that to destroy them. Because what he'll do is this. He'll whisper in your ear, oh, see, you could have been that if you'd been better. You could have been that if you'd done more. You could have been that if you'd, you know, maybe not done this other thing. Or if you leave your marriage and go do that, then you can do that. No. You know, I tell you, you look at the issue of abortion in our culture, and you see the hand of Satan. Take the ACLU. The ACLU is one of the most liberal organizations that exist in our culture today. They champion the cause of the underdog. Migrant workers, racial discrimination, you name it. They are the champions for human rights in every area except for the most vulnerable of all in our culture, the unborn baby. And they advocate the killing of an unborn baby. You say, well, that it doesn't make sense. It's because Satan has used his lies to recruit them to attack God's own, his babies, and they've fallen for it like a flood. Satan's attack is intense, using lies to recruit others to attack God's people, and he is not going to back away from that. Satan tries to overwhelm you, but that brings us to number five. Satan can only go so far. Satan can only go so far. Revelation chapter 12 and verse 16. I love this part of it. The Bible says that the earth, the natural world, creation, and here's another picture that we're given, came to the help of the woman, and the earth opened its mouth and swallowed the river that the dragon had poured from his mouth. Can you imagine this? The picture that John is giving us is a massive army that Satan has marching against Israel. And as they're moving to attack Israel, to destroy Israel, to undo Israel, because Israel is now making changes to give their heart to Jesus Christ. And just as you start making those changes to come to Jesus Christ and to know Him personally, Satan's going to amass attack against you. And guess what? Even creation will swallow that attack up, because God won't let Satan keep you from coming to Him. Amen? That ought to get an amen. Because He loves you. And He will protect you. In fact, God intercepts Satan's forces here, and He stops them dead in their tracks. And once again, we see the hand of God allowing Satan to only go so far. And by the way, as we talked before, you know, the best way to understand Revelation is to use the Bible to interpret it, and specifically the Old Testament. And so those hearing this, their thoughts immediately would have gone to the story in Numbers chapter 16, where Korah and his family, the Levites, are jealous of Moses and Aaron, and they want to usurp them as the leaders of God's people. And Satan always loves to do that. He loves to discredit leaders. He loves to do whatever he can to make that happen, and he will work hard to make that happen. But because the Korah and his family were not of the priesthood, they were not called to do certain things that God had called Moses and Aaron to do. And they refused to listen to Moses when Moses said, "Don't do that, don't do that." And they went ahead and they did it anyway, and they approached the holy, and they attained that which was holy in the sight of God. And Numbers 16:32 says that immediately the earth opened its mouth and swallowed them up with their households and all the people who belonged to Korah and all their goods. God will only let the attack of Satan go so far. He will not let His holy be impacted. He will not let it be affected. God will intercept. Satan pushed sin to its limit, and at Calvary, God intercepted sin. He put it to a halting screech. And you look, you see the blood, you see the pain, you see Jesus ravaged by Satan's agents, and you look in his eyes, and when you look in his eyes, what you will see is not panic. You will not see giving up. You will not see fear. You will see love, a love for you that compelled him to go all the way to the cross, to take Satan's best kick that he could manage, to do everything that he could to try to destroy Jesus, to keep us from being redeemed, to keep us from experiencing his presence. Satan pushed it to the limit, and Jesus took it. And Satan had no answer for it. None whatsoever. He intercepted the punishment of our sin. He bore it in himself. And Satan was left dumbfounded and speechless. And that's where I want to leave him today. Amen. Satan can only go so far. And number six, Satan does not give up. Satan does not give up. Revelation chapter 12, verse 17. "And then the dragon became furious." That word furious literally means to have a rage. You ever been around anybody that just got mad? They quit making sense when they got mad. And when they started expressing themselves because they had anger issues, you could tell it. And so anyway, Satan became furious. He raged against the woman and went off to make war on the rest of her offspring. And now notice who Satan's going to come after. Two people are people who demonstrate two characteristics: on those who keep the commandments of God and hold to the testimony of Jesus. And he stood on the sand of the sea. And so who does Satan come after? He comes after the rest of her offspring. That is the woman, the Israel who gave rise to Jesus. And then he turns his hatred on the believers that have resulted from what has occurred. And he comes after those who are absolutely committed to living God's commandments and to doing God's will, and who have the testimony of Jesus Christ. You know what that means? If they hold the testimony of Jesus Christ, they're washed in the blood. They've come to know Jesus personally. And the testimony of Jesus is that he shed his life for us. You see, they demonstrate two things. And you can talk about how much you love Jesus, and you can talk about how you're a follower of Jesus all you want to. You can even be a member of a church. You can have your name on the rolls of this church. But I'm going to tell you something. If there are two areas of your life that don't reflect Jesus, number one, your conduct, in that you are keeping the commandments of God. And then number two, your commitment, that you are living out the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you don't do at least those two, don't tell me you're a follower of Jesus, because you're not. You're just going through the motions. That's all you're doing. You're playing a game. Listen, Satan hates all men, but he especially hates those who are sold out to Jesus, who are going to have in their conduct a commitment to live the commandments of God, and in their commitment who live out daily their testimony for Jesus Christ. Now, have you felt his anger? Have you felt him at times coming against you like a flood? Then turn to God in prayer. I know what we've done the last 2 weeks has been a little bit different, but we did it for this reason. I want you more than anything else to learn to go to God directly in prayer, and that we as a people will be people who go to God in prayer and who refuse to let Satan establish the agenda for us. We're going to let God establish that agenda. A little boy was talking to his daddy. He said, "Daddy, how big is the devil?" Daddy said, "Well, he's pretty big." Little boy said, "Well, is he bigger than me?" Daddy said, "Yes." Little boy's perplexed. He said, "Well, is he bigger than mommy?" His daddy said, "Yes." Good answer. You don't want to say the woman was bigger. Little boy looked at him and said, "Well, is he bigger than you, Daddy?" "Nothing's bigger than a daddy," little boy's eyes. Daddy said, "Yes, son, he's bigger than I am." A worried look came across that little boy's face. He said, "Daddy," somewhat perplexed, "is the devil bigger than Jesus?" His daddy smiled and he said, "No, son, he's not bigger than Jesus. And as long as you've got Jesus in you, he won't be bigger than you." That little boy smiled. He said, "Well, Daddy, I'm not going to be afraid of him then. I'm going to live for Jesus." Let me tell you, we're moving into a very dark age in our world today. You're going to be able to see it. You're going to be able to see it in churches. You're going to be able to see it in other places. And you're going to see things happening, I believe, that are preparing us for those last days. Those days when Jesus will extract his church from this world. Now, what you got to decide is this: whose side are you going to be on? I mean, you better make that decision pretty quick, because we may not even make it home today. I'm telling you, it's that close for the Lord to call us out of here. And if you're at odds with anybody, or if you're struggling with anything, there's no better time, no better place than right here, right now, to let Jesus have his way with you. And if you've never made a surrender of your life personally to Jesus Christ, don't give a rip what anybody says. Get it done. Get it settled. Settle it in your life now. You will never find an environment where you will be more applauded for making that decision than right here. Where you will have people that will stand with you more than right here. But you have to make that choice. You have to make that surrender. You have to make that decision. And let Jesus have his way with you. Would you bow your heads with me, please? Heads bowed and eyes closed. If you've never made a surrender of your life personally to Jesus Christ, there's no better time than right now, no better place than right here. And you say, "Well, how do I do that?" If you give me permission, I want to lead you in a prayer. This prayer is your opportunity to surrender to him and say yes to him and let him be in control of your life. As I read through those other prayers, if there's something you need to get settled during this time of invitation, do so. Lord, I just want to thank you for your presence here. Right now, if you want to invite Jesus to come into your life, if you want to settle this now, get it done, get it settled before it's too late. Right now, right where you are, you pray this. "Dear Jesus," pray in your heart, he'll hear you. "I need you. I'm sorry for the mistakes that I've made. I'm sorry for the attitude that I've had. And right now, Jesus, I surrender my life to you. I invite you to come into my heart. I want to know you, Jesus, and walk with you." Heads bowed and eyes closed. If you prayed that prayer with me and you meant it with all your heart, I just want to pray for you. I'm not going to embarrass you. Just slip up your hand right now wherever you are. Thank you, ma'am. Anyone else? Thank you. Thank you. Listen, if you're here this morning and you prayed that prayer and you meant it or you wanted to pray that prayer, I'm going to be here at the front. And as soon as this invitation is given, you just step out and come forward. And I promise you that we'll be here to help you to make that step, to do what's necessary and needed so that you can follow Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. If you're here this morning and God has spoken to your heart about becoming a part of this church family, then I want to invite you to step out and just come and say, yes, this is where I belong. This is where I need to be. You just come and we'll help you from there. I promise you. If you're here this morning and you have a burden on your heart about something, whatever it is, and you just want to pray, this altar is open. You come and pray. And if you want to bring somebody to pray with you, you bring them to pray with you. But you come and pray and let's lay all at the feet of Jesus, because that's where it needs to be. Let's quit imposing our own preferences on Jesus and let's just ask Jesus what he wants. I'm going to say a prayer, and as soon as I say amen, we're going to stand and begin to sing. And as we begin to sing, if God has spoken to your heart, if this is the church, you need to make your church home. If God wants to work in your life here, you come. And we'll help you take those next steps. If you're here and you prayed with me or wanted to make a surrender to Jesus, you come. We'll help you take the next steps. We want to walk with you, but you've got to be willing to walk with Jesus. And if you're not willing to walk with Jesus, then just get ready, because Satan's going to have his way with you. Father, I just want to thank you for the presence of your Spirit in this place. I thank you that we have sensed your presence and your Spirit in a powerful way here today. I know you're moving in people's lives. And I pray for those, Lord, who may need to come and be a part of our fellowship here. I pray that you would call them to come, and that those who come, Lord, would get engaged in doing all that you would have us to do for your kingdom. Lord, we love you and we thank you. We praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand.